Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this particular episode of the Four Center podcast feed is the Clone Wars Report.
Boom, 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 boom.
I was hoping for something nice and big and dramatic. We have taken a little hiatus here on going through all of the episodes, all of the arcs of the Clone Wars animated series. We took a pause to really dive deep into the Bad Batch each week as it came out, and now we are getting back on the Clone Wars space horse. I am Joseph Scrimshaw, and the person making the great drum sounds, the massive timpani, is that the way you say it? That's the way I said it, is Ken Nabsock. How you doing, Ken?
I mean, you're the drummer of the group here, and I'm going to follow your lead. I'm doing great because I got to tell you, Joseph, I miss the Clone Wars, and I love Bad Batch. I love that. And it, Clone Wars point two, right? Ha ha ha. No, I turned on this episode, the first of the three, and I was like, we're back, baby. We're back. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I have loved the Clone Wars animated series since I finally watched it all several years back. And now it's really become like comfort Star Wars to me. Like, it just, I love the era. And, you know, I hear that music and I get all excited for a moral.
Yes.
Excited for a moral. Maybe that will be the subtitle of one of our episodes. Maybe this episode. We're going to dive in here. We like to discuss the episodes in arcs when it makes sense. We're in the middle of season three. We left off at a weird time because season three is the one that is the most impacted if you watch it in broadcast order or chronological order. We're watching it in chronological order. So sometimes we have episodes like this where The first two episodes of the arc are from season three, and the final episode of the arc is from season two. So you can analyze, we analyze the story as the story. But then, of course, we want to be aware of the fact that the final episode in this three-episode arc was actually made significantly earlier, and that affects a little bit of the storytelling, the way we look at it as well. So with all that in mind, here is what we are discussing. Season 3, Episode 10, Heroes on Both Sides, written by Daniel Arkin and directed by Kyle Dunleavy. Season 3, Episode 11, Pursuit of Peace, written again by Daniel Arkin and directed by Dwayne Dunham. This is a big deal, Ken. Dwayne Dunham is the assistant editor, one of the assistant editors on Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, one of the main editors on Return of the Jedi, and the editor of a bunch of David Lynch stuff, including Blue Velvet, Twin Peaks, directed one of the great episodes of the original run, edited the entire season three of Twin Peaks. So Dwayne Dunham is quite a cool name to just see pop up on an episode of the Clone Wars animated series.
Yeah, and look, I'm not going to act like I knew this off the, you know, just off the tip of my tongue here, but he's Boba Fett in that like famous Ben Burtt interview before Empire came out. He's wearing the outfit, thanks to the featurettes on StarWars.com, and just so to see how closely he's connected. And you know, I'm a little familiar with the resume going forward, but it's like that's just wonderful. It's bringing back a Hall of Famer to play a game. It's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And if you ever see him on any of the behind the scenes things for Star Wars stuff or for David Lynch stuff, he's just like a charming, awesome guy. Mm-hmm. And he will give great interviews where he kind of compares Lucas and Lynch, which is just a treat for me, somebody who is a fan of both of those creators. Anyway, someday maybe we'll do a Dwayne Dunham deep dive episode. But moving on, the final episode in this arc is Season 2, Episode 15, Senate Murders, written by Drew Z. Greenberg and directed by Brian Kalin O'Connell. We're going to dive into this, but before we do, Ken, I feel like we should have a little awooga moment of letting people know this particular arc of the Clone Wars is, I think, blazingly, intensely political. Would you agree with that?
What are you talking about? Banking deregulation, budgets, new lines of credit to fund the war machine? Yeah, this one is pretty overt.
Yeah, yeah. So we really try to be aware of the political discussion on Force Center. And a thing that we have said before is, you know, I'll put my personal opinion out there that I think everything is political. I think politics are how we decide what society we want to be and what we value. And I think for me, that's a little bit what these episodes are digging into. But I also understand that people want to sometimes watch things and enjoy them for the story they tell in the imaginary universe and not connect them to reality. And talking about politics all the time can be extremely stressful. So I want to be sensitive to the people who are like, I'm tuning in to my Star Wars podcast for a break. And say, with all respect, this might not be the episode for you.
Yeah. These three episodes. Yeah, I agree. No, I really do agree with that. And I think over the years, I never was just, Star Wars is just pew, pew, pew to me. I obviously got the big stuff going on. But over the last few years, it's just, it's so in the DNA of Star Wars that I'm so excited for these episodes because this is the fuel that leads to, you know, runs a lot of the plot and the themes going forward and backward in Star Wars. It's the politics of it all. And they really lean into it here with purpose. So why I echo what Joseph's saying, I also think it's important to just be open to these breakdowns of these type of episodes too.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that caveat, I hope everyone is still listening and enjoying or taking a pause, coming back when they're ready for it.
No harm, no foul.
Let's dive into the summary. Ken, I tried to keep this short, and it's the longest summary ever because it is kind of complicated, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so here we go. I might have to take a break in the middle. The summary of this arc of the Clone Wars. Bankruptcy. The cost of the Clone War is depleting the resources of the Republic, but the corporate forces profiting from the war are determined to keep the fighting going. A bill is proposed to purchase millions more clone troopers and make the funds available by deregulating the banks, allowing the banking clan to extend a larger loan. Senator Padme Amidala opposes the bill, realizing more troops will only prolong the conflict. With the help of Jedi Padawan Ahsoka Tano, Padme bends the rules to make contact with Separatist leader and her old friend Mina Bonteri. Together, they almost convince both the Republic and the Separatists to resume peace talks. Meanwhile, Ahsoka and Mina's son, Lux Bonteri, learn an important lesson about seeing the humanity in your alleged enemy. Then, sabotage! The peace talks are derailed when Dooku and Grievous use sweeper droids to infiltrate Coruscant and set off a terrifying explosion, thus proving the threat of the Separatists. Fear does its work, and the Senate deregulates the banks. Dooku has Mina Bonteri killed and frames the Republic for it. With the banks deregulated, Kaminoan Senator Halle Bertoni introduces an emergency bill. An emergency bill that would allow the Republic to buy more clones from her own people. But Padme and her allies fight on. Together with her Rodian mentor Anakonda Farr, Senator Mon Mothma, and Senator Bail Organa, Padme discovers the banking clan, now free of any restriction, plans to charge the Republic an interest rate that will cripple the government. Dooku hires bounty hunters to rough up senators to keep them from opposing the clone production bill. Padme pleads with Bail Organa to give a speech to the full Senate, believing senators will only listen if the message comes from him. But Bail is wounded by the bounty hunters, and Padme is forced to give the speech herself. Taking inspiration from her aide, Tekla, Padme paints a picture of the true suffering caused by the war. Not just the violence on the front lines, but the war funding robbing citizens of basic needs like water and electricity. The Senate is deeply moved. For a brief moment, it seems Palpatine's plans are foiled, but chaos intervenes. Rodian Senator Lolo Purrs murders Anakonda Farr, blaming him for dragging Rodia into the war. Ironically, the shocking murder distracts from Padme's war opposition efforts. The bill to buy more clones passes, and the war rages on.
Wow. I mean, that was, first of all, that's amazing. First of all, you've just done some of your best work. I really love the summaries. That seriously is awesome. Applause. Second, I mean, that's some exciting Star Wars. And I'm not just saying that with tongue in cheek. I'm not. It's great Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to track with actually which bill is being proposed, yeah. What is passing when, so many different motivations. But it really is all this big through line about, you know, the true cost of war, right? Yeah. So let's get into it. What was your overall reaction to these three episodes? Love them, like them, struggle with them? Where you at?
These are two perfects and a really fun, enjoyable episode. Like the last one's episode 215, and I can't wait to discuss it. It's kind of bonkers in a real fun way. I've mentioned the first episode, Heroes on Both Sides, a lot. And before we've done the deep dive here on Force Center and Clone Wars, I've talked a lot about Mina Bonteri being a great character, and all that still stands. But I almost feel I even understand it and appreciate it even more after watching it. I have now watched that first episode, Heroes on Both Sides, four times going into this recording. And two of them were just like, let's watch it again, just to see what I've missed, just to see what I can focus on, just to see what I can connect. So it's always been one of my favorite episodes because, you know, it slows things down and answers that question that the Revenge of the Sith crawl kind of made us ask about. There are heroes on both sides, kind of where this is obviously coming from, but it's so much more than that. And I really just love, now that we've learned more about Dooku, and now that you and I have spent more time discussing Padme just really being this moral compass, and Ahsoka having her perspective changed clearly in this episode, but really seeing it. And this, you know, we always watch the featurettes, so I don't ever want to quote something from those and not and take it as my own. But this idea of Filoni was, and I've heard he understands Star Wars a bit, talking about how, you know, you're seeing the war through Ahsoka's eyes. She's truly this kind of point of view character through a lot of things, and her view, and Anakin kind of shoving her view in front and center of Separatists are bad and we're here to stop them. It's really intriguing stuff. And then this big lie, well, Dooku taking kind of a truth, but how twisted that is. But the truth is the Republic's corrupt because I'm one of the ones corrupting it. I'm not telling you that. And so making the Separatist not correct, you know, it's, again, this episode's dealing with nuance and complications and everything, but it's just so an intriguing look at this, at why we have war, why we have conflicts, and ties so much into Padme's stuff. The other episodes are great. I'm focusing a lot about that one, though. I did, the only note I wrote on episode 215 is slightly misplaced. We'll discuss that in a second. I'll say I'm not joking when I say this is some amazing Star Wars about what makes it work, about what George was trying to do. And I love it even more now.
Yeah, I think not surprisingly, we're pretty much in sync here. Heroes on Both Sides taking its name from the crawl in of Revenge of the Sith, right? Yeah. Is just an absolute top tier episode. Everything about it, amazing, great. I think Pursuit of Peace is really amazing because it's continuing that story and finishing it. But Heroes on Both Sides, because you're getting Anakin and Ahsoka, you're meeting Mina Bonteri. The horror of Dooku's lies to the Separatists is so powerful. Yeah. And when we get to see that, Pursuit of Peace is great. Senate Murders is also like very powerful, but just a little bit of a weirder episode, right? It's just it's pulling in several different directions with the tone. We'll talk about the lieutenant there, Dan Devo, right?
Yeah,
or Tan Devo.
Tan Devo.
Other way around, Tan Devo. Definitely, it changes the tone and the flavor. of these politics.
Yeah, you got Tom Kenny, SpongeBob himself, doing that voice, which is just fun in another way too. And they're doing a New Orc gumshoe story, but it's equally as fun. I really enjoy that one now more than I did back in the day. And so can't wait to discuss that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for me, I think you're touching on some of the same things, but this arc is huge to me because two things. I think it really puts Padme's character in perspective and really cements who she is and her importance to the story of the Clone Wars and totally about Padme. It's not about her relationship with Anakin or being the mother of Leia and Luke. This is about Padme, period. So there's that element. And then these episodes, it's from these episodes, a lot of the things that we just kind of casually say on many episodes of Force Center are really seeded from these episodes. To me, these episodes are the story of the Clone Wars. These episodes are, in case anything sort of implied in the actual prequel movies or other episodes of the Clone Wars are unclear, here is the story of the truth of the war.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of big picture from the Padme thing, I really think this is a presentation of Padme is right, 10 feet tall letters on fire, right?
Yeah.
The true hero of the galaxy has a true moral compass. And I think it's these episodes, there's this great tragedy of this is the character who was right about what should have happened, is that the legitimate problems that Separatists had should have been resolved through negotiation, communication, connection, empathy. And even if the Separatists didn't, you know, come back to the Republic, that the two people could have lived in peace, you know? Mm-hmm. And that Padme is the one who's right to say, gotta dig in and look at these problems, gotta communicate, gotta resolve this. The fighting's not gonna accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. And she does what even the Jedi don't do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so huge for Padme. And then for me, in the picture of, in terms of painting the picture of what the Clone Wars is, it just makes it incredibly clear that the Separatists have legitimate concerns. We've even got that one senator kind of pushing back, Separatist senator pushing back against the corporate alliance and going, we're not going to be controlled by corporations the way the corrupt Republic is. And we see the Republic, like the Kaminoan senator going, I'm going to propose this bill that you give me billions of dollars, like obvious corruption, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So we really get to see that the Separatists have legitimate concerns. And then we see that those concerns are utterly manipulated by the Sith of Dooku and Palpatine. Mm-hmm. So there are many great good people, heroes on both sides of Separatists who have their perspective, right?
Yeah.
Who have legitimate concerns, in Dooku and Palpatine swoop in and do just horrible evil with those manipulations. And we get to see that in the Clone Wars too. We see Grievous attacking, you know, hospital ships and hospital stations and, you know, raiding villages and, you know, invading people's towns and slaughtering innocents. The Separatists do evil things. And we see that from Ahsoka's perspective, right? Of like, well, I've seen them do nothing but evil, but I guess I haven't met just people who are unhappy with the Republic. So it just shows that story. And I think in a big picture for certainly Lucas, I'm not as familiar with Filoni's real life perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing just feels like an argument to me of this is why politics matter. This is why they're interesting. It's almost like Lucas saying, like, did you think taxes were boring? I will show you why it matters and why it's not boring. and why everything is motivated from this perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of the straight up quotes are they're almost funny in a way, because I can almost imagine Lucas watches this episode and be like, yeah, that's right. You talk about deregulation. yeah, I love that there. Yeah, we want to get to the deeper parts of the conversation, but I love what you're saying about this stuff here, about the importance of it. And I look at that hallway scene with Padme, Ahsoka, and Anakin. It's the kind of the, you know, core of these episodes, in the sense of, you know, Ahsoka's got to learn politics, and just the oversimplified view of Anakin to me represents this overall failing of the Jedi. So it's this big theme as well of, and if by failing, I mean, you get where Anakin's coming from. You know, they say there's corruption. That's a lie. And we got to stop them.
Period.
Period. And that's why we're here as generals in the Republic's army. You just got to look at that and go, oh yeah. Okay. Well, there's also what a lot of the episodes 1, 2, and 3 are trying to say, particularly 2 and 3, about the Jedi at this time. And from their perspective, again, the Sith are manipulating it. So there's a lot going on, a lot on the layers there.
Yeah, a lot of layers there. And the last layer I'll mention, I don't want to belabor it, but I think it's a great thing to think about if you want to engage with Star Wars this way, is that I also think just the timing of these episodes is, in terms of when they actually came out, it's just sort of undeniable that Star Wars is often political, and you can choose not to engage with that. But like these were broadcast in 2009 and 2010, right? And banking deregulation, if you want to Google it, was kind of a thing that was deeply affecting America at that time and being discussed a lot, right? It's not random that those terms are being thrown around. So I don't need to get into a huge amount of comparison to real life stuff on that issue, but I also just want to acknowledge that it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
All right. We're going to keep diving deeper now that was just our overview. We always like to talk about the morals of the episodes, the literal morals on the screen. For heroes on both sides, it is fear is a great motivator. For pursuit of peace, the moral is truth can strike down the specter of fear. And for Senate murders, the moral is searching for the truth is easy. Accepting the truth is hard. Did any of these really grab you as good life lessons or affect you?
All of them. I love the fear stuff in the sense of just, I love analyzing what just that word means in Star Wars and how we can take it out into life. And a lot of times fear is just viewed as, you got to be courageous. You got to overcome fear and those things. And that's kind of correct in a way, but just breaking down the fear of, you know, Anakin's attachments and all this kind of thing. And Ahsoka having a fear of the separatists based on, ignorance or lack of the whole picture and lack of information, lack of experience. Separatists have left the Republic based on a fear of what they believe is the truth, which also, again, is the truth, which is also not the truth, which is the truth. And it's all rolled into one. Banking clan and trade federation dealing in fear and selling fear and needing fear for the machine. There's all that kind of stuff. And how Dooku kind of weaponizes the differences or concerns by injecting it with fear. And we all deal with fear, and fear is how am I going to pay rent next month is a fear that we all have, and fear is natural and fear is normal. And it's how you deal with it that leads to big choices in your life. So I gravitated towards that and how fear can sometimes create these differences, but how Padme and Mina represent different sides. And it's easy to be like, different sides. And look at that. You can find, common ground on the other side. The common ground for me is that both sides don't tolerate this war, don't tolerate corruption, don't tolerate abuse of power or a lack of empathy. Padme and Mina connect on those. Getting there might be different. And if either side knew the whole truth, they'd probably be more synced up, but preying on those fears. So that one was big for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the fear is a great motivator, is a super powerful one. It's a way that I really like to look at and think about the prequel era. Obviously, the idea of fear echoes out all through all of Star Wars storytelling, the Skywalker saga in particular. But I think the story of fear leading to anger, anger leading to hate, hate leading to suffering is Anakin's personal journey. But I think it's the whole story of why the galaxy falls, right? Why the Republic falls. in particular, and this episode is such a great one, Heroes on Both Sides in particular, where the villains are just explicit about it, of like, they will make bad choices and they will harm themselves and play into our hands and give us more money if we scare them and, you know, make them fear the other and all that. And then you go to the moral of the second one of truth can strike down the specter of fear. And that's, you know, this great contrast of hope of, you know, if Mina had not been assassinated by Dooku, is there a possibility that Padme and Mina could have compared their truths more and gotten even closer to the same page of, wait, we've really both been manipulated, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. And searching for the truth is easy. Accepting the truth is hard. I accept that.
Yeah.
That's a very true one. Like, I just want to know what's going on. Oh man, I wish I didn't.
I wish I didn't. Yeah. Or just a lot of truths. I always, you know, go personal or, you know, look in the mirror and see. And then sometimes, you know, the hardest things I've had to deal with the last couple of years are sometimes it's so easy to blame others. And then you look in the mirror and go, but how much of that was me? I don't want to accept.
Yeah. Yeah. They go to that meme of, we're all trying to find out who did this. Right. And sometimes you're like, Oh, I did that. That's a hard truth to accept.
Anyways,
it's a good straightforward one. So we've already talked about them a bit, but I want to just dive into the big themes and the ideas at stake in the episodes. I'm going to jump into some things, and then I definitely want to get your feedback, and I want to, you know, leave it open for insights that you've got here.
Yeah,
but. Want to just dive into what I think is the biggest thing for the three episodes, in my opinion, is really the true cost of the war on every level, right? The opening newsreel announcement for Heroes on Both Sides is really clear about it. It says, conflict with no end in sight, quagmire of war continues, clone troopers suffer casualties at alarming rates, an emergency session to debate the true cost of the war. This is the great tension of Star Wars, right? Where it's war is literally in the title. This is called Clone Wars, and we watch episodes, and it's just cool when Jedi, you know, destroy machine after machine of war. Awesome. It is fun. It is fantasy, but it is also dealing with this idea of, why is this happening and what is happening because of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I feel like there's kind of a couple big things for me, but the two I really wanted to focus on, because the actual word is used a couple times, is just suffering, right? That's a part of Yoda's dark side path speech that he gives in Phantom Menace, right?
Yep.
That's the true dark side ultimately is suffering. And there's so much in these episodes that makes it clear that the suffering is not just on the battlefield, but in day-to-day lives, right? Some of the most explicitly political lines that can be applied to the real world is, you know, Padme saying, as it is, social services have suffered because of this war, education, infrastructure, healthcare. If you go deeper into the debt, the basic needs of our people will evaporate. In her big speech, Padme says, if we continue to impoverish our people, it is not on the battlefield where Dooku will defeat us, but in our own homes. All of that, of course, motivated by just talking to Tekla, just talking to a person who's living a day-to-day life and saying, we can't read at night. Sometimes there's no water to even bathe. Everyone is suffering. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an interesting point of storytelling that you can spin off into real world, but also just for the story of Star Wars, you know, that we can get so caught up in the wonderful fantasy of the good guy wizards with blue and green and purple blades, and then the bad guy wizards with the red blades, and what's the balance of light and dark? And like, to me, the story is that the dark side is increasing in power and hampering the Jedi because of this, not just because people are dying, but the war is causing suffering everywhere, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Two things jump out of this here. You know, going to the first episode of the arc here, the hallway scene that we mentioned already, but like, I love that moment where Ahsoka kind of asks, but why not? When this idea of Jedi need to seek peace solution or tell Palpatine, hey, this ain't, war continuing ain't right, right? You know, like, and Ahsoka always has this perspective that carries on to season 7 that I think goes into it, because the second episode deals with that direct cost. And this also, this idea that the reason all this is good, the Tekla's the people, represents the people in this whole episode. And the people are at stake. And the idea, I think the second episode particularly makes this idea, there's some people, some characters, and some rhetoric from the senators that paint understanding, caution, patience, that big word empathy we all keep using, it paints it as a weakness, right?
Right.
We must just know, we must win, fight, dominate. Sure, you win the war, maybe you have some version of true peace. That's what Palpatine is going to tell everyone. And we know that.
In fact, he does at the very end, right?
He does, right? And also, I'm making reference to Safe and Secure Society, but there's the one thing here of, yeah, we need to do this to keep the Republic safe, right? And I think all that, yes, that all leads to what is the cost, which is the people suffering, man.
Yeah, no, I think that's really great. And I think one of Ahsoka's great lines there that does seem like it's maybe, wrestling with people's reactions to the prequels of like, you're just talking about banks and interest rates and nobody's talking about why we're fighting in the first place. And I think that really sets up that idea of like, yeah, it's senators and it's the separatists and it's the Sith in the background and it's politics and that. But then the people who matter are the people, right? All the people. And you get that from Tekla about what the true kind of day-to-day cost is.
Yeah, and love that we can talk about the connection to Tekla. Can I talk about that though? This is not necessarily on point directly with what you're saying here, but there's some great meta comedy. I think it's super intentional of Ahsoka being, and this was 2 years before any pizza rolls were throwing bad critiques at the movies, but like I think it's intentional, but it's needed because I know I probably shared this before, but one of the first times you and I ever were on a podcast talking, probably Jedi Alliance, and who knows, it may have been even over beers at that convention. And I'm, working through, I like a lot about the prequels and snap, but that line you had said, you said it before, I know, but like the Trade Federation blocking Naboo, the blockade of Naboo, is if FedEx and Amazon had an army. and I just, when you had said that to me, this is now 6-7 years ago, I just like, I had never stopped for a second to think of that, to engage with what that is. And I think this hallway scene begins with Ahsoka just going, we're supposed to be here fighting and we're talking about deregulation and credit lines. What do you mean? And it's like, well, that's how we get the fighting and that's all the problem. And I just love it. It is an important, if not also just funny meta moment.
Yeah, it is. It's a really great, really funny moment. I think from that perspective of both like, hey, yeah, that's the reason that people go to war is, control and money and who has what power and who has what influence. And, so that's why wars happen. And it seems like Ahsoka's on one hand not understanding that. And then on the other hand, she's going like almost like us fans, like, but why are the separatists actually mad? Why do the Bonteris not want to be in the Republic anymore? We're not talking about those things,
Yep. Yep.
And for me, I think that leads to this other big true cost of the war. There's all this sort of like literal physical suffering of clones dying and Tekla's family literally being impoverished, right? Yeah. But there's also just this true suffering of the soul, right? That is absolutely necessary to make the war go from Palpatine's perspective, Dooku's, from all the corporations profiting from it, right? It is necessary for there to be fear of the other, right? And it's necessary for communication to be blocked because with communication comes the possibility of empathy, right?
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you're saying. It's just the language of the other attacked us because they're evil, period. So no discussion is allowed of any nuances of the disagreements. So we could possibly end the conflict. We just have to yell strength and keep fighting. Which literally happens with the senators, but there's, I think, great details in these episodes where those sort of like big opinions aren't just said, they're demonstrated by what is actually happening, right? That we learn that Padme wants to reach out to her old friend, Mina Bonteri, to talk about the true things that the separatists are upset with and see if there's any way to work around them. And we find out that it's illegal for her to communicate, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's just such a great, specific, concrete. This is what the government is doing is like, we want to make sure that people like Ahsoka never see people like Lux and realize, maybe we're both being manipulated. Maybe we're both maybe the only people benefiting are the people who are literally profiting or stealing power like Palpatine, right?
Yeah.
And we get that from Lux and Ahsoka's reaction to one another of like, this is so weird that, you know, neither of us appear to be what we assume the other is, you know, and it's getting, there's still legitimate differences and the war still needs to be worked out and it still needs to be stopped. But any possibility of that starts from, oh, you're not this mysterious other to just be hated. You're a functional human being with a different perspective.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think a lot of the things being asked here is this big why of why are we fighting? We were talking about the cost and everything, but even with this loan, even with winning the war, it would wipe out the Republic. It would wipe out the people. So then why and who are we fighting for? That's a big question. It's a big question to ask. And I love that the talk about the Senate, the senators can't go over there. It's illegal. Anakin kind of has the tag, or no, I think Padme has it, the tag of, well, you know, they think that would legitimize the separatists. I can say it today. That's a pretty, you know, just like dehumanize, but devalue them to that point of, it's pretty telling of what's going on there behind the scenes in the Republic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think for me, the kind of the final thing, this big picture true cost of war is that it really just it opens the door to greed and hidden motivations. Right. That's Palpatine is selling that we are being these separatists pulled away and they're violently attacking us. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you should always be afraid. And so everybody's functioning, all the senators are functioning from that point of view of, you know, we must protect, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, what's actually going on is the war profiteering and in Palpatine's hidden motivations of wanting power. And I just think that is not, you know, a subtle part of the story. That is explicitly what is happening in the prequels. But there's such great explicit lines in this arc. Senator Goom Som of the Techno Union saying, "We need fighting to feed the machine and our profits." Like, yeah. There is a desire in these episodes to be not subtle. And then on the more subtle side, there's, I think, like, just particularly in Heroes on Both Sides, there's these great visual representations of, you know, here's the Senate. It's bright and it's open and it's a circle and there are cameras and everyone's kind of saying what sound like virtuous things for the most part, or, you know, at least even if they're sort of a pro war, they're like, well, we have to protect the people. We're just trying to survive. So you have all this kind of bright stuff going on on the surface. Right. And then down there in those power generators where those droid bombs are going off, it is red. Lightning is sparking. It's dark. And it really is just like this visual perspective of, like, sometimes when we talk about great conflicts, there's this bright surface that sounds good, but there's this red lightning filled darkness. That's the true motivating factors.
Where some cats going to work at their shift at the power plant just got killed, just got shot brutally.
Brutally killed. Brutally, right? I mean, even like the sound design is like, we want you to know this is very bad. So those are my big picture thoughts on the true cost of the war. Any other thoughts on that before we move on to another big theme?
No, I mean, but yeah, huge one again. And why are we fighting again? You know, I think of that Anakin Hallway scene again of, all right, cool. Separatists are wrong and we got to stop it. But why are we we're doing this to not fight anymore. Right. So why are we if there's a way to not fight, if that's still the goal, if there's different ways to get there, why aren't we even looking at it there? And for Ahsoka to kind of ask that question, I think it's pretty big.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And in fact, the next thing that I wanted to talk about is, I think there's this theme running through it, through the three episodes, about the danger of apathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of saying, well, that's politics. That's not my problem. I feel like that's kind of thematically, in some ways, that's what Senate Murders has the most to contribute to the conversation of these episodes, is that line that Padme says about Anaconda Far. Ono believed, if you see injustice, you can't wait for someone else to fix it. You must stand up and get involved. Correct. That's a real statement about being proactive in the face of horror. That sentence aligns with where Ahsoka eventually comes in season 7 of the Clone Wars, right? Of like, what it means to her to be a Jedi, right? So there's this real Padme as a hero because she is not apathetic. She wants to dig in, figure it out, and get involved. And then that great Holloway scene is basically like Anakin Skywalker, great hero of the galaxy, going, "Yeah, not my problem."
Yeah. Missing a little bit of the point, I would say. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. This, you must stand up and get involved is as crazy and fun as that third episode is in the arc. That's I think the absolute core of the episode. And what's at play there? I'm looking at some of the notes there on Far, but yeah, anyways, that there's also the line. Oh, this is from Senator Christo. Just what is your ideology matter at this point? Is it worth being beaten to death? Look what they did to you, which is kind of like really apathetic and cowardly, right?
Right. Yeah. And the pursuit of peace and that whole plot of like, yes, we are going to hire Dooku hires those thugs to beat up senators in a disturbing little montage.
Yes.
I think the great storytelling there with Anakin, and I think, you know, Anakin is a severe case within the Jedi, but I think it says a lot that, you know, for me, a big part of the fall of the Jedi is them saying, we have this good philosophy that the Jedi should be about defense and we don't want more power. We feel we're connected to the Force. We have this power. We should use it to help people. We should use it to defend people when they're in danger. We don't want to grab for power, so we shouldn't get too involved with politics. Mm-hmm. And Palpatine knows this and uses this, right? I think that's part of the reason. Like, well, we didn't order an army. We don't think a war is a good idea, but okay. Yeah. And here's Anakin kind of taking that to an extreme, right? Of wanting to make the situation simple. I think that's a great contrast between Padme and Anakin. Of Padme's willing to dig in and accept the hard truths and go, there are 18 factors. It's complicated. Yeah. It's scary. It's full of nuance, but we got to figure it out. And Anakin's like, politics, that gets to be a mess. Let's keep it simple. The Separatists believe the Republic is corrupt, but they're wrong, and we have to restore order, right? It goes to this great weakness in his character that we see in Attack of the Clones, right? Where he says, you know, everything's so easy when I'm fixing things.
Right.
And he wants the world, the galaxy, the government, the war. He wants it to be, I'm looking at this screw. Do you twist right or left? Great. Mm-hmm. Done. And anything else scares him.
Yeah, it's like me trying to get my printer to work on my network at home. Yes, I just want it to work, and I get angry, and I don't want to think anything else about it. Yeah, look, I joke. I'm kind of a simple, bare bones kind of guy. Give me where to go, and you know, my brain hurts sometimes. I get where Anakin's coming from, but that's why I love this. These episodes just really break this all down. Anakin's, war's complicated, but let me simplify it. It just throws that back in his face by really giving you these overt themes on how it works and how what we're fighting for. So I feel you, Anakin. I just also know you got to look in the mirror a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally understandable. It's very relatable to just like, let's make this simple, right? Those people are wrong. Let's fight them. Good. Done.
This goes back to growing up for me. Why I love these episodes and love these even more. I still feel I'm learning from these particular episodes, particularly the first one, because you know we grew up with years ago. You served my father in the Clone Wars, General Kenobi, and isn't that grand? Isn't that great? And then the Jedi are generals, and I couldn't I would argue with friends in the early 2000s of. The Jedi kind of doing some things wrong. And he's like, no, they're doing, they're heroes. They're generals at the front of the army, which they are in many, not taking that away from them. You and I are always here for justice of the Jedi, but to see how that was twisted, everything down to this moment with Ahsoka going, but why not? Why not? It just really, for me, who does need it simple sometimes, I'm joking, but it needs it simple. It really just highlights where the Jedi were on that slippery slope and where they slipped.
Yeah. And I think it can be easy to draw the conclusion of like, well, then the Jedi, if it's that complicated, then the Jedi shouldn't fight. Right. And I think that's where Padme and Ahsoka end up being kind of these leaders, because what they always kind of come to is, well, we need to really understand why we're fighting, but it never occurs to us to not fight, to have apathy. Right. Like, that's what Anakin kind of learns, because or Ahsoka kind of learns, right? Because she starts out with a little bit of like Anakin perspective, like, oh, I know the Separatists are evil. And that's understandable, because like Filoni is saying in that behind the scenes thing, we've seen Ahsoka, stop them from raiding villages, taking over planets, letting off horrible, bombs, eradicating everything, blowing up hospitals. Like, yeah, from just the perspective of Grievous and Ventress, as she says, they're evil. But then she goes through this process. And instead of just clinging to that perspective, which makes her life easier, she gets the final line where she's of the that of Heroes on Both Sides, where she says, you know, the politics of this war are not as black and white as I once thought they were.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's the triumph, is that she is past apathy. She's saying, okay, it's more complicated than I thought it was, so I'm going to need to think about this more.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well said. No, thank you.
And well said, Ahsoka.
Well said, Ahsoka. Even more importantly, I'm just quoting Ahsoka. The final big thing for me is goes back to the character of Padme across these episodes.
Yeah.
I feel like throughout the story of Star Wars, you know, politics are there from the very beginning, right? You have A New Hope with even Luke saying, I don't like the Empire. He's got an opinion even way out on Tatooine. And you get the council being, you know, the Senate being permanently dissolved, right? It's lurking there in the background and only becomes more and more to the forefront. And even get it in lines, kind of some fun, jokey lines where Obi-Wan's pretty grumpy about politicians, right?
Yeah.
The Anakin's line in Attack of the Clones, but not another election about what I think campaign finance, I think it is, but something along those lines. And even Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith going, like, I'm not brave enough for politicians. You go do that, right?
Yeah.
There can be a real, I think, from Lucas as a guy who distrusts large organizations and seems to think there's rot in large organizations is what I infer from some of his life experiences, interviews, storytelling, that there can be a little bit like, politicians, they suck, right? And these episodes have some of that, right? Tan Devo, in particular, in Senate Murders, says, poison, the preferred method of politicians.
Yeah.
He goes on that speech about they all have something to hide, and it comes out eventually. And then that funny shot of like, oh, right, I'm talking to all politicians. And that moment that you were talking about with Senator Christo, where he really puts forth a thing that politicians are often criticized for, of like, you're not actually thinking about what's best for all the people. You're only thinking about what will cause your constituents to reelect you or not. Right. Because he said, I'm just going to go home and there's the good side of representing your people. And then there's the like, I'll turn whichever way the wind goes as long as I get reelected and keep my power.
Yeah.
So there are these kind of explicit critiques of politics, which to me only makes it more powerful that I feel like Padme has kind of put forward is an idealized politician of like what a politician could be. Right. Of 100%. That she is hopeful, but still realistic, and that she always fights for the people, right?
Yeah.
We got that great line from the Moon Nix card who says, I thought age might temper her idealism.
Right.
To me, this really powerful, like, it's very Star Wars to say, this darkness is real, it's complex, the world is complex and scary, but don't lose your idealism, don't lose your hope, and Padme never does. Like, and that is a recipe for a good politician, is powerful to me.
Yeah, well, it's the stuff that Tekla was saying of just like, but you listen and it's you know, it's not the just about, hey, Padme, you're awesome and people will follow you, you know, it's just like, this is why you should speak and this is why you do, you know, versus the other ones. She is a template. We call her the moral compass. I think she's a standard and that transfers to her daughter. And as we talked recently in Force Center, some of the stuff that transfers to Luke is there, too. So I love celebrating this character. And there's so many things that she says that these truths, the big truths come from her. The basic needs of her people will evaporate. One of my favorite action moments we'll discuss is what's the moral responsibility? A lot of it comes from her. And I think this all feeds into her being Palpatine's true enemy, true rival, the one there that's always going to be foiling his plans. Much like her own daughter later on, the Princess of Alderaan, like it carries on, and I love when it's on display.
Yeah, no, we are right there on the same page. I feel like that is such a big, powerful moment. A couple other moments where I feel like she's kind of elevated. Obviously, the Tekla thing of saying you're not like most politicians; you actually talk to the people like me, and we get a lot of the stuff we're familiar with of Padme is not going to be frightened off, right? And she'll pull out a blaster and she'll fight on a real literal level. But the pursuit of peace has this really interesting thread where she's known as a partisan, right? And they don't say it, but I have a hard time not ignoring it, that there's this story where she's basically says to Bail, I can't nobody will listen to me if I make the argument. You're respected. You need to make the argument, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's the partisan stuff, but it's hard for me not to see a little bit of a gender dynamic there.
Yeah.
And I think there's the conflict of that Pursuit of Peace episode and the ultimate triumph is Padme saying, I am going to find a way to do this myself because I have to, right? And
yeah,
it's great the way Bail is like, you go do it. You have to do it. You can do it. And it is a triumph that she gets past all of this fear and anger. And even though she doesn't ultimately win with the bills, the Pursuit of Peace ends with people applauding because she has managed to get through to the senators and to people in the galaxy with a message of empathy and hope, right?
Yeah. First of all, I love that, you know, she's hitting on like two big speeches back to back in these episodes, right? She's a home run hitter. But without a doubt, Senator Christo is totally the example of, and I do think that the gender dynamic that you mentioned is very prevalent when he's just like, Bail thinks that? Oh, why didn't you say so?
Like but Bail said the same thing that you said, Padme, but louder and in a deeper voice. Great. Then it's a good idea. Or like, then politically, I don't have to fear getting behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's there. It's there.
That's there. Yeah. And the final thing for me in terms of kind of this argument for Padme as the idealized politician, you already mentioned it. The fact that the Pursuit of Peace episode ends on it of just confirming that she is a huge danger to Palpatine, that what she represents of cut through the noise, cut through the anger and the fear, no matter how complex or scary, talk about what's really going on and approach it with empathy and hope. And if somebody can do that, it is a danger to Palpatine, who works on making everyone afraid and making harmful choices because they're afraid, right? Yeah. And he's got that great line to Mos Amedov. Isn't it remarkable that one can have all the power in the galaxy and yet the words of a single senator can sway the thoughts of millions?
It's beautiful. And I'll tell you, you're talking about Dwayne Dunham coming in here, how this is directed. He is saying that to us, the
right
part of that statement. He is turning the camera and saying it like it's a like he's narrating the story on a campfire, and Mos Amedov just becomes the reality of he's in his office and don't worry about it. But it's almost chilling. It quite frankly is. But it's like in terms of Star Wars, in terms of everything, it is. And what he's saying and what he's saying about Padme. And there's another great moment, the Mina Monteri thing at the end where he's like, "Well, how did you?" What you talk to the set? Who you talk to the separatists? Well, yeah, Mina Monteri, and just that look when they focus in on Palpatine's look, that's one proof for me that Padme often does things that he doesn't account for, that he has to kind of adjust to. I know he's a Phantom Menace, and he's got a lot of he foresees a lot of things, or at least he claims he does. I think she throws him curveballs a lot, and this is one of them. And then and what he does with that, it's a great look at Padme versus Palpatine, perhaps one of the true battles in Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of feel like that's a part of the reason that, you know, Senate Murders gets made, and it's mostly about Anakana Farr's murder. And there's a little bit more of the politics running in the background of that one, of the bill to pay for more clones, right?
Yeah.
But then these two episodes come before and give it all this weight that at the end of Pursuit of Peace, the middle episode, Palpatine is saying to Mos Amedov and the camera, like,
yeah,
she, in the great chess move, she blocked me. I can't get around this without overplaying my hand.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to wait for a moment, you know? And yeah. And what it appears from the episodes is that Lolo Purs gives into fear and anger and causes this chaos with this murder, yeah, and everybody's eyes goes off the ball. And Palpatine's like, great, fear and anger worked out for me. I'm glad I just waited.
Oh, there is a shot in the third episode where all the senators are fighting, guns are being drawn, and there's Palpatine smiling. He's in the middle of it going, yes, yes. But it's just, you know, all the evil, all the power in the world, he doesn't account for some of those things. And this connects even with episode 9 and Rey being like, you want me to hate, but I will not. And sometimes Palpatine, he just can't defeat that kind of stuff because he can't comprehend it. And I even made the note, it sounds like I'm just making a joke, but it's like game recognizes game a little bit here. Like Palpatine's got, he's saying a little, I'd say he's frustrated. He's a little angry at her, but a lot of that, like, all right, we'll just let democracy do its thing for a bit. you got this round, Padme. Don't worry. I'm going to come back for it. Like, you know, and he does. And he does. And he knows the connection and attachment that Anakin feels for her. That's his wild card that he needs to play. And you know, it's weird for me to say I'm excited because of what happens to Padme and everything. And, you know, we're not rooting for Palpatine here. But it's some of the more compelling stuff in Star Wars is those two and their decades-long battles.
Yeah, absolutely. And that line where he does kind of turn to the camera / Masamita and grimace a little bit, it's like, it is pretty amazing to be like, this guy's an evil wizard who shoots lightning out of his danger fingers. And yet this line is, and that look is almost more frightening, right?
Yeah. No, 100%. Because he's just straight up saying, you know, he wants unlimited power, but he's just like, hey, that one can have all the power in the galaxy. You know, he's looking at his own reflection in the window as he overlooks Coruscant. I have everything. I'm in control. But damn, one single word, one senator tripped me up.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you strip away the subtext and it's like, I have all this legitimate power. I can tie anything up in knots. I have like actual power. I got two lightsabers hidden in this office. I can kill anyone I want, and I probably can't physically be stopped.
Yeah.
But if this woman can give hope to too many people, I'm screwed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good, powerful stuff. We talked a little bit about how various themes and ideas reflect from these episodes into the larger storytelling or morality of Star Wars. But was there anything else there that you wanted to dive into?
There's a lot of things there of, again, going back to Padme, but it ties into bigger stuff, but just like a lot of her strength, a lot of her, you know, fine, I can't get there, or the rules say we can't go there, but I'm going to find a way, whether it's go rescue Kenobi and attack the clones where it's here. We even talked about in some other examples recently, but just the fact that like, I can't get there, but wait a minute, you can. Ahsoka, we can go there, and it's all for the idea of helping people and how that drives Padme. I think that connects to the bigger Star Wars story too with her.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a big thing for me of like this idea of empathy runs through Star Wars so much from that quote from Anakin, where he is actually quoting his mother that I think a lot of people have been focusing on more, because I think it is it's a key to, to Star Wars and to Anakin's fall of the biggest problem in the universe is that no one helps each other. Mm-hmm. And then I think people have really connected that to the Citizens Fleet, right? Of in Rise of Skywalker, of everybody saying we're not going to back down from Palpatine. We're all going to work together to help one another. And it appears many moments in Star Wars. And I think this is one that is very much of that spirit, that the argument that Padme is making is really an argument of empathy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know this touches on real world politics, and I respect that people have very different opinions born of life experiences and all that kind of thing. And when you get into the weeds of individual programs in real life and, you know, how they're being run and why, it gets very complicated. So I really acknowledge all that. But I feel like the argument that's being made in these episodes is that the role of government is to help one another, right? And to have lights on so you can study and have running water and have access to healthcare so you're not physically diminished. And that the perspective that Padme is having is saying education, infrastructure, healthcare, those are about empathy. Those are the, you know, Anakin takes this risk in Phantom Menace to help with the pod race out of, you know, the goodness of his heart. And I think the argument that this is making, whether you agree with it or not, in the real world, is that Padme's perspective is that's these micro examples of kindness are great, but we also need that on the macro level.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is connected, but again, the hero on the both sides thing isn't a, what's Mina and her represent, like I tried to say earlier of yes, two thoughts on some things, but the end of the line is the same. And it's about their own people, their own worlds, their own planets, their own communities down to the small level. But yeah, and how that's why we're doing this. Whereas some of the other perspectives are destroy, like you said, yell strength, just strength. And why, you know, a lot of some of the things of understanding caution, patience being portrayed as weakness in this episode, why I think it connects to what you're saying of just like that's Padme's driving goal and that's what she's asking and that's what she's representing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, that was the other big Star Wars theme is, you know, a certain point of view of this episode really clarifies it. Right. Because I think it's great for the characters to try to have empathy, try to understand where other people are coming from. And we get that from Mina and from Lux and from some of the separatist senators of like, we've got legitimate problems. And Mina saying, from my perspective, my husband was setting up a base and there was a literal attack of clones and he died. Right. So. Yeah. We get her point of view and we could go, oh, I understand. And there's room for us to come together in the middle. And then we also get the point of view of the Sith, of Palpatine, Dooku, of the corporations. And their point of view is there's no possibility for compromise because that would stop us from getting what we want. We want people to suffer.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really the argument of a certain point of view of is understanding, you know, where you can make compromise and understanding where you truly can't.
Yeah, no, if they sit down and Mina Montari says, so good to see you, Padme. Yes, we have some differences and we definitely want to see every one of you wiped out. Padme's not going to be like, yeah, you're right. That is, I'm good with your point. Yeah,
let's meet in the middle. You can kill half of us. Yeah.
And look, again, it's complicated because it is. And so we're trying to summarize it here in Star Wars and not, try to connect it, you know, try not to connect it too much to the real world. But like, that's what I kind of mean, where I think maybe 12 years ago, it would have been like, oh, I love it. See, heroes on both sides, and not really known what the episode was trying to tell me about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mina Bonteri and Lux are heroes who have been manipulated, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. With that, we are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back to get into some of our favorite moments, action, comedy, canon connections. There's a lot of fun stuff going on in these deep and complex episodes as well, and we can't wait to dive into that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place.
That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Four Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Four Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
And we are back to finish our discussion of this great Power of Padme, Power of Politics episode of the Clone Wars. We're going to talk about some of our favorite details, starting with favorite action moments. Ken, there was a lot of Senate yelling, but a lot of other action. What were some of your favorite moments in these three episodes?
So the first one is Senate action, because the first episode doesn't have a lot of traditional Star Wars action. So when Padme at the beginning of the episode kind of stands up and says, and it's this little mini speech that ends with, "But what about moral responsibility?" I count that as action, because she's brave. She's kind of on her own island on this. She, as we've discussed earlier, you know, a lot of people, you're cool. You've done some good stuff. But you know, you're still kind of this little girl growing up. Right. And I think it was a big, brave action for her to stand up and say that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. There are some great action shots in the Senate. I think it's in pursuit of peace. When one of the senators who have corporate representation leaders who have a seat in the Senate. They even make it clear that Halle Bertoni basically kind of forced it of like, we're going to keep making these clones, but yeah. We need a Senate seat. There's a shot. I think I can't remember which corporate leader is talking, but like Bail just kind of floats up in the background.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to let this stand. And it's a great action moment in the Senate.
Yeah. Love that.
In Heroes on Both Sides, I do love and am terrified by, love is a weird word, right, that whole infiltrator droids scene, right, where they've been disguised as a sweeper droids. Transform into super violent beast droid mode. Like, I feel like it's really there to make the point of they are huge and terrifying in the sound design of their blasters, just mercilessly killing these people who are just doing their job at the power generators. And there's even that contrast where that one brave technician tries to fight back and has that tiny little blaster that makes a teeny little blaster noise. And then the sweeper droids, the infiltrator droids, have these huge, chunky, awful droid cannon sound, right?
Yeah, they look like they're from the opening of RoboCop there. 15 seconds to comply. Yeah, I'm with you too. I don't know why I like it like I do. Like, there's people dying, and that's, we talked about that earlier, what it means and the theme behind that, but they're an interesting design. They're very intimidating. Also, because I have an iRobot vacuum, I'm like, is my vacuum going to suddenly transform and shoot me with its arm guns? There's something about it. And even Grievous sending him off, which is that, you know, some of you might not come back. Actually, none of you are going to come back. It's funny in how just brutal it is.
It's really dark humor. Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, that's like, especially, I think all throughout Star Wars, but particularly in the Clone Wars, the way action is framed is sometimes very much like, this is fun fantasy. This is, you know, an adventure serial to watch with the family. It's fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Have fun. And then other times they frame the violence as, this is awful. And this is one of those times where it is framed to be, let there be no doubt that this is awful.
Yeah, correct. 100%.
Another action moment for me is in general, the kind of the big action scene of Pursuit of Peace, Padme's resourceful speeder chase.
Yeah.
But in particular, when she just rips that gear off, that lever, and shoots fluid into the bounty hunter's eyes. The bounty hunter, I believe, is named Chata Hoika. I don't know how to say his last name. I apologize to Chata.
Yeah.
But squirts him in the eye with fluid.
Because the other one's like, what,
Robinino? Yeah.
He's got the patch. I put that one on too. I put Padme fighting with no G back is always fun, but that speeder bike just dragging the bounty hunter when she actually smiles and she looks back and he's just boom, 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 hitting the traffic cones.
Yeah, I mean, it's moments like these that, like, I think E.K. Johnston, of course, understands the character of Padme so deeply, but, like, really connects back to moments like these when you know, she has that great line in one of the Padme books of, like, well, I know how to deal with just straight up evil, you know, yeah. I shoot it.
Yeah.
And I like her clarity of, like, these are complex issues. We really need to work through them. And then that clarity of, like, bounty hunters are trying to kill me so I don't do my job. They are in the wrong, period.
Yeah.
So I'll handle that.
Well, this goes back to, you know, proposed Mina conversation. You know, it's not like she's like, I agree with the bounty hunter's perspective on trying to kill me and we're going to try to work it out. No.
Exactly.
You ask and analyze why you fight. It's still with the Jedi. So it's small stuff fun. Also interesting to note, you know, again, go to that featurette on this one where Filoni was just like, oh my God, Dwayne Dunham, but just like says, you know, it was specifically, we kind of brought him in because we knew we had these like politics and all this stuff. And, you know, some Star Wars fans like zippy stuff. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But Filoni essentially was like, you know, some of this stuff doesn't know, and they need to have a little action. So we brought him in to have this wonderful sequence and do all this kind of stuff to make this wonderful episode.
It's really well cut action with you see Padme kind of eyeing up what her resources are as she's zipping through the speeder through the town of what she can use and all that. It's really well done.
It really is.
What are some other action moments from these three episodes that you liked?
I just wrote, let's see, what did I... two things. So in the second episode that we, the Pursuit of Peace, Bail punching Chata Hoki is just, and Padme does later on with Lulo.
Yeah.
I don't condone just punching folks. I really don't. But also, I also understand why sometimes it may be deserved. I don't know. It just is both of them. So I'll list both of them. Bail and Padme's punches as exclamation points on the scenes.
Yeah,
I mean, great stuff.
That whole scene with Bail trying to escape, and at first me being like, where is the security for these senators? And then you do see them coming rushing out. But yeah, no, he just gives a great big Organa uppercut to Chata.
And so it is. When Farr, who's been jumped already, is like, all right, I'm going to walk home. You need an escort, Padme? No, your guy parked around the corner? Ah, cool, I'm going to walk. I'm like, wait, give me one guard, something. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of take it as a we're not going to live in fear kind of thing, but also like, yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm all for that. Like, yeah, but, you know, sometimes put your keys between your fists when you're walking back to your car late at night. Like, yeah, you shouldn't have to, but please still do. Like,
oh, and I do.
Always very smart. So, yeah, no, yeah, we joke, but I get what you're saying too, but I had, because even the driver going, I'll be around the corner. I'm like, why? Far's things parked there. You didn't need to move.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a day-to-day occurrence in Padme's life.
Really?
Yeah. In the final episode of the Arc here, Senate Murders, I do like just the whole scene of Padme and Bail going down the docks being fired at and how quick Padme is with that blaster. And
yeah,
it's just the art direction of that is more than, like, any actual, like, super cool action moment of seeing Padme just racing through those docks and she's in the shadows and then the pools of light. It looks really cool.
Yeah. And I noted my favorite action moment is also Padme's action outfit is what I refer to, that like kind of magenta, you know, hiking vest she wears.
Yeah.
It's really, and they use that so well for that poster for the, what was it? The second Thrawn. It's an image that pops up a lot of Padme in that outfit. I just kind of like that as her action outfit. You know, she's ready to, boots on the ground, blaster in a back pocket. She's going to go cause some trouble. I like that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really has some rhythms with the outfit that Leia is in Battlefront 2.
100% does. Yes. Yes.
Which is really, really cool. Really fun. I think for me, my last action moment is one you already mentioned in Senate Murders. Lolo's perspective is Padme just cocks her fist to knock her out. Yes. And again, you know, I think when there are moments where Padme is physically aggressive, it's like, yeah, no, they just found out that Lolo murdered Anakinfar and Lolo pulled a blaster.
Yeah.
And Padme's like, you got to take a nap, Lolo.
Yeah, look, we can have the deep philosophical conversations all day long because we love them here and they're valuable. But also, look, I get it, Padme. Good job.
Yeah, and it's frightening. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to be punched by Padme.
Yeah.
Any other action moments for you?
No, they packed a lot of action into these political heavy episodes, these politics on Star Wars there.
They absolutely did. And they packed in some moments of comedy, whimsy, and weirdness, I think, as well. So what were some favorites of those for you?
Going to Heroes on Both Sides, the senator from Kamino, the esteemed senator from Kamino, Hallie Bertone. Is she Bertone after Bonnie Burton at all? We should ask Bonnie about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hallie Bertone saying, a small price to pay for financing the war, is it not? Like, of course. You think you have great prices. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah, Kamino is at a discount. Yeah, no, yeah, a small price. It's like, but they're, you're literally talking about the price that you would pay yourself. Yeah. It's very funny.
Yeah, and then the other one I have, it's Lot Dodd, right? Is that Lot Dodd?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. Sorry. I thought I wrote that wrong in the notes. But no, Lot Dodd, upon hearing about ideas to kill Padme, that task is more difficult than you pursue. Your point earlier. She lives with this every day. Like, yes, I want a super cut right there of all the assassination attempts on Padme.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first one that made me laugh. It is Senator Som of the Techno Union, who says, I know people who could do something about her. And Lot Dodd being like, oh man, that's not a new idea. That task is more difficult than you presume. Phantom Menace, it's Attack of the Clones. Lot Dodd personally was involved in poisoning her. Yep. Relatively recently.
Yep. Yep.
that was hilarious. A good bit of meta comedy and also realistic that Lot Dodd would have that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one for me, you already mentioned, of Grievous giving the rallying speech to the infiltrator droids of, some of you may not return. Actually, none of you will return. It's so cruel, but really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
We kind of touched on this moment. It's from Heroes on Both Sides. Another one that is very dark, but made me laugh because it's such a harsh contrast of it's when Palpatine is kind of being like, so how did you why do you know what the Separatists think? And Padme's saying, like, does it really matter if peace is possible? And it's clearly one of those moments where Palpatine knows he needs to pretend to be sweet. Right. Yeah. And he says, you're so right. We shall put the vote to the floor. And he's pretending to be so peaceful. And then there's that almost a smash cut to the power generators. Yes. It's a red light and the lightning just... And it's just this like visual joke of like, here's who Palpatine's pretending to be. Who's who he... Here's who he really is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I love... the late Ian Abercrombie does his voice during this era. He's underrated. I mean, people do love his work, but he does not talked about enough. Just his reads are great.
Amazing job. Ian Abercrombie is great. Speaking of a bunch of Lynch connections, he's in one of Lynch's later films, Inland Empire, and has some great moments in that too. So big shout out to Ian Abercrombie. Yeah. So other comedy moments, whimsy moments for you in the other episodes?
I do like the clone going, stupid droids, as he sends them to the destroy. In Pursuit of Peace, when they get the figures from the banking clan there, and Bail says, 25% interest. That's a lot of credits.
Yes, I took a screenshot of that one because it kind of sums up some of what's at stake. I also liked it. It was a very... funny and also weird, a weird moment in Pursuit of Peace. When Anakinfar and Bail and Padme are having a debate about what they can afford, and Bail is saying, like, well, we need to, in order to stop this bill, we need more ammunition for people to support our position. And Anakinfar says, we can't afford ammunition, remember? And then there's that awkward pause where Bail stares at him like he made a bad dad joke. And then Anakinfar says, I joke.
It's really funny. It's so it's awkward. It's wonderfully awkwardly inserted.
Yeah, it almost just feels like this little bit of realism of like, let me try to just break the tension with a joke. Oh, it didn't work.
I mean, that's me at every business meeting at my old job, so I'm with you, Farr.
another one that I don't think is necessarily meant as comedy, but it's so awful in terms of what's happening that it kind of made me laugh of, you know, Padme makes that huge rousing speech at the end of Pursuit of Peace, and there's that beautiful montage of it being broadcast and people being affected and, you know, senators, it seems like legitimately applauding, except for all the corporate leaders. And Halle Bertoni in particular is the slow clap of like, I have to be seen to be clapping, but I don't mean it.
yeah.
It's a good one. Yeah. A good one. Any more for you?
Too many. So, how do I phrase this? The two bounty hunters being at a strip club is pretty weird. It's not normal for Star Wars clubs and stuff come up, but that's where they're at. And, yep. And there's a background shot. You got a Twi'lek dancing, you know, but there's a weak way bobbing his head to the music in the most, I could not stop watching it. he is just doing this like circle, like ding, 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 ding. So, you know, whatever you feel about the scene, the sequence, was it needed? It was made years ago. I don't know if they'd still do that shot. I don't know. But I just just watched the week way just going, dee, 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 dee. Really funny.
There's a lot of good background work.
Yeah, there is. There is. There's a lot with Tantivo, I think that's really funny here. I'll need to find out who wanted to hurt Senator Farr. Actually, kill him would be more accurate with him being dead. I like that line, but also there's no time for time. I'm like, I need to use that one in life.
That one was a little too close to home. I wrote it down though, of Tantivo saying time, there's no time for time.
Yeah.
And then a couple moments later, he goes off into like his detective thoughts and starts mumbling to himself. And that really cracked me up too. I was like, all right, so if the senator wanted to do this, who don't want to do that?
It was really, no, I'm glad I mentioned that too, because it's so funny. It's a great character. And again, Tom Petty, SpongeBob, who knew doing this? And I know it's, you know, it's drawn on old movies from the 40s. I get all that, but it was really funny.
Yeah. No. And it is this, you know, I don't know if Filoni said more about it in the behind the scenes, but it, you know, he's this weird character because he's like, oh, you are obviously drawing on classic films. There is a Peter Lorre aspect to your appearance, but that's not fully a Peter Lorre voice, you know, and it's not fully a Peter Lorre character because Peter Lorre was rarely that in charge in a lot of his classic film roles.
Yeah.
There's a great, interesting tension there.
Yeah, love all that. The final one, there's two. There's at one point Palpatine says, murder, it's inconceivable. And I'm like, you daydream about killing your master every day. You relive it. You fantasize about it. Like, shut up, Palpatine. And then Bail at one point says, speculation gets us nowhere. So it's Bail talking about Force Center.
He does not want one of our t-shirts.
Yeah.
To speculate responsibly. Fair enough. And so it is. Final Tantivo line for me is, I liked his line of, do you have any idea how many reports I have to file now?
Yeah.
I always like it when a sort of bureaucratic character who is, in theory, should really have their mind on the heart of the matter of, we have some murders to stop, some people to protect, and then the mask just slips. I'm like, I gotta fill out a bunch of paperwork. Very funny. Any others for you?
No. That's good.
Excellent. So let's move on then to canon connections, lore connections to other stories. I want to dive in here with a couple. Want to be sure to remark upon it when we got here. This episode marks the great season 3 mid-season redesign of Ahsoka, Anakin, and Obi-Wan. Ahsoka's look, of course, changing the most. She's got the two lightsabers now. She's got a full shirt and more elaborate leggings. She's also aged up a little bit. Her montrals are a little taller there. And then we don't see Obi-Wan. We see Anakin briefly, but Anakin and Obi-Wan lose some of the clone armor. Still have the VAM braces, I believe they're called, with the comlinks armor. But a big mid-season redesign. Do you have thoughts on just the sudden and unexplained mid-season redesign?
Other than my thought being, I like it. I really like the updates, aging up Ahsoka, you know, putting her in a more battle appropriate kind of outfits and everything. I like it. It just makes sense. And it shows just a good, you know, the passage of time. And also the show probably had, you know, a chance to do it as it grew and maybe got a bigger budget and knew it was going to be around for a little bit. And, you know, unfortunately, eventually it wasn't. But I really like it. I think it was smart. It makes it more lived in as a show.
Yeah, no, and I love that rationale of, you know, showing time passing. Love the redesign of Ahsoka and the aging up, and love the two lightsabers, which is, you know, now iconic for Ahsoka. But on my very first view, I was like, this was really when I hadn't known. I was just power watching them because I was enjoying them so much. Mm-hmm. Of like, these episodes confused the hell out of me. Like, wait, didn't Anaconda Far die? Ahsoka has two lightsabers. That's so cool. When did that happen?
Yep.
So if you just watch them in broadcast order, you know, there's some risk. And this isn't even about broadcast order. Regardless of how you watch them, you know, Ahsoka's got two lightsabers. We get a little bit. We get that great Forces of Destiny episode on it. Mm-hmm. But if you're just watching the Clone Wars, it's just like, well, some stuff happened off screen. Deal with it.
Yep. They do that a lot. But none. Yeah, this third episode, going back to, you know, season two, like I am I'm just kind of stunned that they did that. A lot of other times they do that. It makes more sense to me, and I'm not saying it doesn't. And this isn't a huge criticism, but like this one really confused me of how and why.
Yeah. I'm curious what your thoughts on that. Like, I mean, we are speculating, and yep. Unless there's some more that you've read, why do you feel like Lucas Filoni, the team, said that one episode where the focus is on Anaconda Far's murder, but running in the background is this extremely important thing that the Senate voted to produce more clones and keep the war going. Why do you think the team looked at that and said, we need two prequel episodes that really put that in perspective?
Well, yeah, if that's, and that's how they do your, and you're correct to point out, that's how a lot of the out of order ones ended up kind of working out, where, you know, George or the team says, hey, let's go back and revisit that. So if that is what it was, I think finding that, hey, there, we have a missed opportunity to explain the core of everything that's going on. Let's do that. If it was just simply breaking up the story, that's, you know, who knows, Cartoon Network and blah blah blah. I don't know that you're right. I don't know the information right now, but that would just make a lot of sense. If like, and I wonder too, this is complete speculation, sorry Bale, of just like, maybe there was like, hey, even more courage and confidence to do that. Like, maybe this, they knew that was going on, but like, hey, let's just really dive into that season three, we're aging things up a bit, let's go bank deregulation, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it really does feel like we had this episode in season two where our heroes, you know, absolutely codified as heroes, Bail and Padme, want to stop the production of more clones because they don't want the war to just rage on. They want peace talks to resume. And looking at that and going, that's a huge part of the story. That's incredibly important. Let's dive deep into the hows and the whys and, you know, why doesn't that work? And it feels like that to me feels like a motivation.
Yeah, totally. And you're right. I'm glad you brought up to discuss a little bit more of like, that's probably more likely what happened than what I personally kind of thought going into a lot of this, knowing, cause I never sat to do the chronological order. Cause I'm like, why would you do that? And I just, you know, whatever the network was saying, I don't know. And some of that could factor into it, but to hear a little bit more was like, hey, we can go back and do what we want. We can revisit things and explain things more and get maybe more confident in our storytelling. I do support it from that angle.
Yeah. And I do like an interview. I can't remember where it's from or when I first saw it, because it's just stuck in my head, of somebody asking Filoni specifically about like, why is this a jumbled order? And Filoni just smiling and saying, George likes prequels. It's funny and pithy, but it also really makes me think that is a part of the process, that Lucas himself is looking at the episodes and the stories that have been told and saying, where do I think they should be fleshed out?
Yeah.
I like that anytime we speculate, we're now going to say, sorry, Bale. Sorry, Bale, about that speculation. Yeah. Some other canon things. Mon Mothma speaks. Obviously, she speaks in the season two episode, Senate Murders, but then again in the season three episodes. And we've been having some fun tracking as we watch all these episodes that Mon Mothma is often there in a collection of senators, but isn't speaking. And Mon Mothma finally speaks.
Love it. Yeah. And finally, yeah, good, and more great things coming with her. Yeah, they reuse some of those Senator designs too. You see a lot of them walking in the background in this episode too, and that show up in the second episode, everything. But yeah, it's great to have Mothma get her due there.
Yeah, absolutely. Raxus, that is the separatist planet, separatist kind of base of operations that Padme and Ahsoka first go to Mandalore. We hear, and we don't see that, and then get taken. Mandalore's a neutral world, so they can go to Raxus. Raxus just popped up again in Bad Batch. We saw it being a target of the Empire. The Empire's cracking down on all worlds in general, but really taking it out on separatist worlds.
Yes, yes.
So that's a fun bit of continuity.
Yeah. Yeah, no, indeed. And I know it was initially mislabeled as Raxus Prime, but no, it's not. But yeah, I love that one. And it's a real nice, I like that the separatists have like British Parliament going on and everything. It's a different taste.
Yeah, that's one of the things they disagreed about is the design of the Senate.
Yeah, yeah. Floating circles. No, we want old style English. What's English? Don't trust me. It's good.
We want wooden boxes. Yeah. Yeah. The character Tekla is last name is Minwa. And according to Wikipedia, that Tekla is the sister of Nathan Hamill's Phantom Menace cameo character, Ratul Minwa. And also, according to Wikipedia, Tekla is in the live action film Attack of the Clones, the aide who serves the fruit to Anakin at the lake retreat.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I am going to do a rewatch just for that moment.
Just to see Tekla's big moment of serving the fruit.
Which means then she'll also, I mean, she has a relative in Last Jedi, right? With Nathan's other character there.
So yes. Great stuff. Yes. And that's just one of those, ridiculous deep dive connections,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It will probably come up on some trivia show. Be warned.
I'll be ready. And one other just kind of big continuity. Sometimes when we're talking about these, there's like those fun, weird little deep dive Wikipedia connections. And then some of them are like very essential. Like the motivation of Lulu Purs in the Senate murders all ties back to the season one episode, Bomb Bad Jedi,
right,
of Anaconda Farr's guilt because he almost gives Rodia over to the separatists believing their lies.
Yes, that's right. It's all the way back in season one, right? Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And that episode can really be like, oh, but that's the one where Jar Jar dresses up as a Jedi, right? But that's what's actually, going on. That's why Padme's in danger.
Yeah, that's right.
Just a couple other things for me is great to see Duchess Satine at Anaconda's funeral, keeping that connection alive. She doesn't speak or anything. And final thing for me is I like that the plot in Senate Murders hinges on the fact that Kaminoans developed poison that only affects Rodians. Kaminoans, what all are you making and why?
What's going on? And then I had the thought of like, as this is going on, Omega's probably down in some laboratory there going, why are we doing this? This is the
same. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great. Any other canon or lore connections that popped out at you?
Nah, you nailed them all there.
Excellent. We always like to check in if there was anything that we disliked or questioned or sat weird with us. Anything sitting weird with you from these three episodes?
No. There's definitely a couple shots or something. I was like, they might shoot it a little differently nowadays, different time, different era, and that's a good thing. But overall, I'm good with it.
Yeah. No, I think, there's that one shot in Heroes on Both Sides that is literally Lux Bonteri checking Ahsoka out.
Yeah.
I think that scene and that idea might be phrased differently these days. So that is definitely something where you see the march of time.
Well, yeah. And it's weird to look back. And trust me, I've been watching some HBO movie comedies from the 2000s going, oh, no, a lot. So, times change, but the only thing about that scene is the point is still there, and I actually think that's a pretty funny scene, but just like how it's shot, again, like you said, how it's put together and the male gaze, you might change it a little bit now.
Yeah, it is literally Lux's male gaze. but I think the heart of that scene does come through, that it is about people being open to understanding one another and understanding that their assumptions were wrong.
And then I
like Candivo. He's funny. He's weird. Tom Kenny, of course, not surprisingly, knocks it out of the park. I think it is he's a little jarring when you watch these three episodes in a row, because you know, the two episodes from season three kind of have a different tone, this extreme weight. And it's still there in Senate Murders, but with also a huge side helping of wacky space Columbo Peter Lorre cocktail.
Like, I suddenly, you know, felt I was watching Clue, which I love the movie, you know, like, great. But like, yeah, it's a little jarring. Yes, because especially because those first two episodes and specifically Heroes on Both Sides are really big, really important, and really have a distinct tone. And so it's a gear shift.
Yeah, Tandiva was a little, he's just a little like, he steals the focus a little bit. But, you know, that happens sometimes with the funniest person on stage. You're like, all right, fair enough. Yeah. Stealing a little focus there, Tandiva. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you wanted to touch on?
No, man. I mean, we long one on, you know, long episode for good reason. But I'll tell you what, personally, like, we were coming back for Clone Wars Report, and it's been a bit. And even though we've been reviewing Bad Batch and everything, like, this one tested if I was in game shape to review Clone Wars episodes. I was like, whew, had to crack some knuckles. Really, just let me concentrate on this stuff. So thank you all for letting me get through it. But these are big episodes to return to.
Absolutely. I was talking to my wife about it, and it's like, okay, so we were doing this Clone Wars report. We took a break to do Bad Batch, and then we came back to three of the most complex episodes humanly possible. So it was a great trial by fire to get back into the Clone Wars report groove. So we're going to wrap up, as we often do, with a fun question. Ken, if you could have a figure or really any toy of any character from this episode, who or what do you want?
I want the Mina Bonteri with peace vote proposal action.
I love that. We're in similar states. One of the things that I like about Clone Wars is every time Padme goes somewhere to negotiate something with another leader, she always has a nice cocktail.
Yeah.
So I want a Padme and Mina Bonteri cocktail two-pack where they're talking peace and having a little cocktail.
Yeah, you know, if Padme was alive and kicking today, she'd be liking a lot of your Instagram photos. That's what I think.
I would hope. I would really hope. My other idea that's kind of a joke is a moment I really like in Pursuit of Peace when Dooku just really ruins everything by with this lie that the Republic attacked Mina Bonteri, when really we discover that he is the one who took out this problematic person. But the way that happens is they basically get a hologram message in the Senate, and then it's just giant Dooku hologram.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really great if you could buy an action figure that was technically to go with your 3¾ action figures. But it's giant Senate hologram Dooku, and he's just massive in comparison to your 3¾ figure.
I love that. That'd be great. Sign me up for more Dooku.
More Dooku. All right. So next up, the arc that we will be discussing, we're taking some time off in our personal lives, some vacations that we're kind of recording around. So we're going to be getting back to Clone Wars Report very soon. And the next time that we record, we'll be talking about Season 3, Episodes 12, 13, and 14, Night Sisters, Monster, and Witches of the Mist. Very excited to get into that. Can we? Any thoughts, Ken?
Yes, because I love these episodes. It's got one of my favorite little moments with Asajj and Mother Talzin. Can we just, is there like a Jar Jar Trips episode in between? Is there nothing? Okay, we're going for it. Okay, got it.
Can we just jump to, the D-Squad, the droids being fun?
Yeah, there you go. No, looking forward to those. Those are really great, really great episodes.
Yeah, a big part of what makes the Clone Wars that we are going to be diving into there. And we always close the show by Ken, you providing us the moral of this episode of our podcast. What should it be?
The moral is, you and I may come from different sides of the tracks, but we must agree on how best to not speculate about Star Wars.
Respect Bale's wishes. That's the true moral, and I think that is great. This is it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Bad Batch Report. Thank you for coming back to the Clone Wars Report, and we can't wait to continue discussing this and sharing this with all of our wonderful listeners. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for Tandiva, this has been the Clone Wars Report.
Oh,
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.